In the name of the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us begin this day and this morning's service by joining our hearts together in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have allowed us to open our eyes this new day of grace, that you have protected us through the night, that you have yet called us into this grace kingdom. We thank you for the many, many blessings that you have bestowed upon us here in this earthly life. We especially thank you, dear Father, that you have given us this gift of living faith. We thank you for this time of services that your children have waited for, have prayed for, and have longed for, dear Father. As you have been with us thus far, dear Father, we pray and ask that you would continue to be with us this weekend, that you would bless our time together, that your living word would be preached, the gospel would yet be preached again and again. We wish to remember those who cannot be with us this weekend, dear Father. Those who are going through time of difficulty or trial, whether it be infirmities of health or medical conditions of the body or the mind, dear Father, uplift and comfort and be there with them through thy Spirit. We wish to remember those who are going through time of loss, of grief and mourning. We pray on their behalf, dear Father, that you would preserve them, and they would, in this time of need, yet feel the loving arms of the congregation carry them through this difficult time. We also remember those who are grieving spiritual death, loss of dear ones, those loved ones of ours, the prodigal sons and daughters. May the living word be received into fertile hearts. May they desire to again travel in peace and unity with your congregation. We even pray, dear Father, on behalf of our leaders, our nations. We pray that you would grant wisdom unto them, that they would lead thy people, thy will be done. We thank you for our homes, for our parents and families, our home congregations, and those dear escorts that help us along the way. We enclose the spoken and unspoken in that prayer that thy Son has taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For this morning's service, I thought to read the first 10 verses, the third book of the Acts of the Apostles, that prayer of faith that God would give unto us. Read these words in Jesus' name as follows. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping, stood up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, it's been good to be here already yesterday in the fellowship of God's congregation and in the hearing of his words. We at Monticello are not hosting these services. Our brothers and sisters in Brainerd, Monaga are, but we share adjoining property with this beautiful place that God has given. And it feels I ought to welcome all of you who have come here, and many there are those en route listening online this morning. So here we have a happening. The New Testament church, after Jesus, who was crucified, dead and buried, and he rose victorious over death and hell and sin. The time of Pentecost was a time of awakening, very different than what we are experiencing today, but it is not so different. Many Jewish people had come for the festival at the time of that first Pentecost, I think maybe the Festival of Weeks. They had come from all over for this great festival. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And they were witnesses of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. The speaking in tongues, the tongues of fire, they are familiar unto us, the result of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And if we were to look in that chapter just prior to this read text, we knew that Scripture reminds us there were many amazed, there were many who doubted, and others mocking. But Peter, who also spoke to this lame man from our read text, stood up and he spoke unto them. These are not drunken, as ye suppose. It is but the third hour of the day. And then he told of what the prophet Joel had written of so many years prior, that it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And so he preached unto them that this was foretold in scriptures, that this was what had happened would come to pass. And he spoke also of what David wrote of in Psalms, a couple of portions. And then when they heard this sermon, this testifying of what Peter had seen and heard of from his heart, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that awakening of 3,000 who had received the gift of living faith through the gospel was such a joyous time in that early New Testament church. We know it is first faith that comes, and then the gifts of faith come. When we are able to believe that our sins are forgiven, I own the name of a child of God. Then God grants unto us and his congregation those gifts that are needful for caring for our life of sin, our life of faith, putting away those journey faults and sins. And we see these gifts. We see how the hearts, not only were they pricked and they were converted from darkness into light, but they gathered daily. They broke bread together. And these newfound believers, they wanted to support the work of that New Testament church. They supported the work of the preaching of God's word and the gospel and the apostles. And scripture says, and the Lord added to the church daily as such should be saved. So these newfound believers then were gathering together, glorifying and praising God. And it brings us to our read text where two of the apostles, Peter and John, familiar apostles, they were disciples of Jesus. We know John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. And Peter was not unlike many of us. We see things, we hear things, and often we speak before we give it pause and think of that. These two apostles, they went with the believers into the temple, it says at the ninth hour. This would have been about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And this certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. I have wondered, the apostles, I'm sure Peter and John had gone into the temple many times before, and perhaps they had seen this lame man many, many times also. I'm sure our Lord and Savior Jesus, who also would have went to the temple, would have seen this man there. Were his friends, his family, maybe his neighbors faithfully carried this man who didn't have much in this life? We don't know much about this man, where he lived. We don't know the affliction except later in this read portion where it says his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he wouldn't have been able to provide in this life. He would have been very, very dependent on his family, his friends, his neighbors. In some ways, I think this is a picture of a child of God. We can't journey very many steps, dear brother or sister, on our own, can we? We need God's kingdom. We need the grace gift of confession when sin besets us. We need the gift of prayer. We've heard of that this weekend. Prayer is the heart's speech with God. God hears your prayers, dear child of God. Many is the time where it feels those sighs from our hearts are futile, and we wonder, does God know what I need? God has created you and me. We are his creation. The psalmist speaks of how we are the sheep of his pasture. He has given unto us his only begotten Son, the good shepherd, hasn't he? And so we are in some way as this lame man who relied daily on those faithful helpers in his life so that he would receive alms. Old Testament, I think the book of Leviticus, Exodus, speak of alms, giving. The writer of the Proverbs reminds us of helping those in need, the poor, and how God looks on those who help the weak and the poor. In the 14th chapter of Proverbs, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, or would mock God. Those who do not have mercy or pity on the poor and wouldn't want to help them. But he that honoreth them, him, meaning God, hath mercy on the poor. Hasn't God bestowed much mercy unto us, his weak and poor travelers? As this lame man, much mercy and help and support was bestowed upon him to get him there to that gate at the temple, which is called Beautiful. Jesus, I think in the Sermon on the Mount, when he taught us of prayer, he also reminds us of giving. There's some parallel, I think, when he teaches us how to pray also, that how we would give alms. And these alms, I think, would have been based on Peter's response, silver and gold, so money. Perhaps it would have been food or something that someone in need would have received. The Old Testament, it spoke of those that had much, the farmers, they wouldn't go through the vineyard a second time to harvest that which had fallen. And also that they would leave the edges for the needy, the poor. But when we give to another who's in need, Jesus reminds us, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they might have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, do not let the left hand know what the right hand doeth. Thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And then he speaks of how we would pray. And I think there's maybe many reasons for this. God knows every thought, even before it comes into our mind. He knows our needs. He knows those acts of kindness, and he knows our sin. A poor sinner needs help, dear brother and sister. Haven't you, as I have again and again, felt so weak and poor and needed help? And it's a gift when we are able to turn to simply a confessor father in private and put those matters away, that we wouldn't have to be paraded up for some kind of show. And that's the greatest gift that one could give, is the preaching of the forgiveness of sins, that dear brother, dear sister, you can believe those sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. Be free. And so this man who was again placed there outside of the temple gates, which is called Beautiful, he asked alms. He put his hand out and he asked Peter and John. To beg for that which would carry him through that day. This is matter of asking is very, very close to us, isn't it, dear brother and sister? We often, our pride, our flesh comes so close to us that we wouldn't want to be a beggar. We wouldn't want to be a bother or a burden to another. May we be like this man. I'm sure he wondered, he doubted, questioned his lot in life. And he had to suppress his pride and put his hand out and beg for that which he needed. As the rest of the city, society, those who came to pray in the temple were able to do something that we take for granted so much, those of us who are able and capable of walking and moving, doing basic tasks in the home, and also doing our calling in this life. So he asked them for an alms. We don't know if he'd asked these two before, and it's not important. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." What did this man do? He gave heed, he listened, he obliged, expecting to receive something of them. Peter had something much greater than what this man needed, or he thought he needed. We often can turn to the Heavenly Father and pray for things that we perhaps don't need. For some reason, this man's heart was also pricked this day, as the many who'd received the grace of repentance shortly before this time. Peter said unto him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." That was what Peter and John had to offer to this man. This day, Peter took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. What a miracle, dear brother and sister. It is a miracle that we have experienced on our journey of faith. Spiritually, the weight of sin has caused us to feel wounded, to be in agony, and to be in pain. May we be preserved this day and always in simple, childlike faith. There's many, many beautiful little voices we can hear in the audience. Perhaps there's a crying baby at this moment. May we be as those little ones, dear brother and sister. May we be as this young man or this man leaping up, standing and walking, praising God, that we own the name of a child of God. You remember how Jesus teaches us as he spoke to the disciples when they asked that question of who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He took a little child in his lap and he spoke unto them and to you and to me of such is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And he also spoke of childlike faith when he said, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Those of us who have been received this gift of living faith, who've been born into believing homes that have been preserved to this day, we daily have reason to leap and walk to God's house, praising God as this man did. Reaching our hand out in humbleness and meekness, being grace beggars, so that another escort, a brother or sister, our child, our parent, our spouse, our roommate, could help us get through a time of difficulty, preach the gospel unto us, and help us journey one more day. We don't need to worry about, as this man didn't, all the days prior to him receiving this miracle of this physical miracle, being able to walk, but much more importantly, receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ of Nazareth into his heart. Those prior days did not matter anymore to this man, just as our past days of faith does not help us for this day. We can learn from those past faults and sins, those places of danger and temptation. Be reminded of those. But our faith yesterday does not save us, and tomorrow has not come, dear brother and sister. We've been reminded in God's kingdom. Again and again, we don't know when our last day will be. We don't need to worry about tomorrow, as Jesus teaches and speaks of. May we worry about today, that God help me for this day. May I be as a little child in God's kingdom, tucked under the loving wing of the mother in the nest of God's house. We know that Peter, as we heard already, was so quick to speak. It reminds me, even his tongue, when he denied his Savior three times, cost him this precious gift of living faith. We're reminded of how James speaks of the tongue when he speaks of a bridle of a horse and the tongue, which is such a small member in our body. James 3, I think. Behold, we put bits into horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which, though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. So he speaks of how our tongue, it's a very, very small part of our body, but it can be such a destructive force. Just like the small rudder of a ship can navigate that great vessel into dangerous waters or into safe, calm waters, though it's very, very small. And we being humans, our tongue gets us into trouble, it seems, so much more often. We have that sin corrupt portion, that inherited sin. We've got the threefold enemy so close, our flesh, the world around us, and Satan. But Peter's tongue here was a tool of God, a gift of God, and not a tool of the enemy of souls. Just as we're experiencing such a time of awakening today, it is very different, but it is also similar to the one of the New Testament churches. All of the Jews had come back to Jerusalem from very far away places for that celebration, that festival. Many received the grace of repentance through technology, through these devices that are very close to us, very accessible to us, and very close to our dear young. It's a gift for the believer when we're able to preach the gospel to faraway lands, countries and cultures that are so different from the ones that we're familiar with, that word is spreading as it did in the New Testament time, but in a very, very different manner. The enemy is very, very close to us, and those gifts that God gives unto us, we can listen to those evening devotions, play those songs on the Hearken app from anywhere in the world, it seems. But Satan is there with us anywhere in the world. Not just you, dear young, who are at the age where you're about to receive these phones so you can stay connected with mother and father and work and so on. But to each one of us, even us old ones, the journey of faith does not get any easier, dear brother and dear sister. Speak to your parents of this, your grandparents. Remain in childlike faith, simplicity of childlike faith. We remember when John was there in prison and he heard that which Jesus had been doing. John, who is the forerunner of Christ, preparing the way for our Savior and his. He was there in prison and he doubted. If I can find that place. I don't remember it. I'll try to paraphrase. When a couple of John's disciples had visited him there in prison, and he doubted, and he sent those doubts and those questions to Jesus. Is it really he or is they or another to come? Jesus sent them back. The lame are healed. The blind receive sight. To the gospel, the poor is preached. Dear brother, dear sister, may we each desire to be grace beggars. You can begin this morning's service, this day of festive services. As you find yourself this morning, uplift your hearts and believe, sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. Live of this gospel message, dear brother and sister. May we, as Peter and John desired to do, even as the theme for this service weekend reminds us of, may we declare unto another brother or sister in faith, a dear one who has lost the way, or one outside of this kingdom who longs to be as this lame man, holding out their hand day by day, living of the gospel. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. May we confess of our faith. When we visit about the way and the journey of our brothers and sisters, our mothers and fathers, but also to our children and to those who long for and seek peace of conscience. I have come here this morning, dear brother and sister, feeling so empty and doubt-filled and fearful and sin-corrupt. And I ask, can you forgive me for all of my sins and doubts? It is my desire to remain endeavoring and traveling in unity of faith with each one of you and all of God's kingdom this day and always. May we daily, dear brother, dear sister, rejoice and praise that God has made us whole through the proclamation of the gospel. May we remember to put away those journey faults each day as they beset. We have a good and gracious God, He who has made us, He who knows all of our needs even better than we do. Even as Paul writes in the letter to Romans, we've heard of prayer, and he reminds us that we often don't even know what to pray for or how to pray. But that's okay, because as Paul writes to the Romans, if I can find that, the Spirit helpeth with our infirmities, our lackings, our lameness, our problems and our sins. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. As this lame man who was placed there at the beautiful gate, holding his hand out, desiring to be helped for his daily bread, he was pricked and given such a greater gift, such a greater blessing. Maybe we'll see that man there in heaven one day. Dear brother, dear sister, pays to believe. Young and old alike, you can again uplift your hearts and believe. Sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. In Jesus' name, amen.